World Elder Abuse Awareness Day was Sunday, and as we were talking about, as the number of people in Wisconsin over the age of 65 continues to grow, really important, I think, to learn how to detect when there's some abuse happening or some neglect or exploitation that may be happening. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My guest today is Marcia Hendrickson. She is executive director of South Madison Coalition of the Elderly and has a lot of experience and wisdom to share in this area, and we're really pleased to have her along. And I hope you join in. If you suspect, or you may suspect, that there's some elder abuse happening in your, maybe in your family or in your neighborhood, or maybe you have some questions about dealing with elder abuse or neglect or exploitation, what do you want to know more about? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Marcia Hendrickson, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Larry. It's great to be here.
How prevalent is this issue of elder abuse?
Well, as the aging population grows, obviously there are more frail and elderly, vulnerable adults in our communities. And due to that fact alone, the incidence of elder abuse continues to grow. Fortunately, there are a lot of resources. There are a lot of contacts locally and throughout the state that people can reach out if they do suspect elder abuse happening. It is unfortunately often unreported. Victims are very reluctant to report abuse or exploitation because it's usually someone close to them that is the abuser, a family member, a neighbor, someone that they have trusted. And again, they're worried about their independence, and if it's reported, the consequences could be severe.
Yeah. When you're talking about abuse, how would you define abuse? You hear neglect, you hear exploitation, you hear abuse.
Well, there's really a wide spectrum of abuse. Many of the cases that are reported are self-neglect. Mm. You have older adults living by themselves. You see some real severe changes in their condition, whether they've lost weight, they're not mobile anymore, they seem to be more forgetful, whatever the case may be. Those are the majority, 50% of all the reported cases in Wisconsin were self-neglect. And even locally in Dane County, that number is about 40%. But oftentimes it's other signs, unexplained physical signs or symptoms, yeah, like bruising. And of course, as older adults become more frail, that becomes oftentimes just accidental. But at the same time, if there are concerns, they need to be investigated. Financial exploitation, again, is pretty common. Next to self-neglect, that's the highest reported condition for abuse.
Well, it's you are executive director of the South Madison Coalition of the Elderly. Mm-hmm. Oh, tell us about that organization. Is obviously you deal with some of this.
We are a small nonprofit organization that's been around for almost 40 years, and we serve not only the residents in South Madison in the neighborhood within the city, but also throughout Dane County with a variety of support and programs. We provide case management, which is where our trained social worker case managers will assist older adults in looking at what kind of needs they have for services to remain independent. That might be some help with house cleaning. That might be some support to get rides to medical appointments. Maybe they need to apply for Medicare Part D or some help in getting through the maze of what Medicare and Medicaid and those programs are. We offer nutrition programs where people over the age of 60 can come and participate and have a nutritious meal 5 days a week at numerous sites in the city. We offer a volunteer home chore where volunteers come in, help clean, and do some basic home maintenance for individuals that can no longer do those things themselves and still want to remain in our community and not be reliant on a nursing home or some other form of living arrangements.
Group is doing a lot.
We do. We offer a volunteer guardian and a representative payee program. So if people need help in handling their finances, handling their Social Security, making sure that bills are paid, and or if they become, they're at that point where they can no longer make decisions for themselves and need some support in that area, we can go through the legal process for guardianship. Again, a lot of these supports, the need for these supports and resources continues to grow as the aging population grows.
Nick in Green Bay has a question for you, so or comment. Let's go there. Nick, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. More of a comment. I used to work in medical transportation for 10 years, and it was horrible, some of the conditions in the nursing home. You'd walk into the door, and you could smell the urine and stuff, and it was just appalling. And recently, one of the nursing homes I went to, it just got shut down because of it. And the thing is, I'd tell my supervisor, they just blow it off because, you know, they didn't want to lose the money of transporting these people. So hopefully, like, you know, parents and stuff of these people or the kids of these people just go in and check on them more often, because when you walk in the door and you smell urine, you know it's just a bad nursing home.
Comment from you, Marcia?
Again, the state of Wisconsin, the Department of Quality Assurance through DHS handles any complaints for assisted living or nursing homes or licensed facilities. And so, again, people need to know who to contact when they do have these concerns for the care for older adults. Locally, most of the counties in the state have an Aging and Disability Resource Center, which is a one-stop shop for information and referral for services for people in their local community. And those numbers are easily accessible, too. So there are numbers and resources that people can reach out to. But again, most of the time, older adults are very reluctant. This is a generation that's reluctant to ask for help.
Yeah.
And so people really need to be vigilant and take that step. You're better off making that call and saying, my neighbor, I'm concerned about my neighbor or my grandmother or whatever, and alert people that can provide some help.
Jim and Kiwani, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, and thank you for a wonderful guest, this lady. Really sounds wonderful. I just got a thing from the DHS, Department of Human Services in Madison, a Forward Health newsletter about the new program. I think it's under the Act 10 of Walker, Governor Walker passed. It changes the estate recovery program, which begins August 1st, where people that want home health care on Medicaid, like me, what the state's changed the rules now, they're going to go after people's property, their homes and estates and everything else. What does she know about this program that's going to start August 1st?
Mm-hmm. I am aware that those changes are going into effect. And again, this becomes an issue because I believe that those recommendations were changed legislatively to make those changes to the estate recovery program, which is, it may have some very, very severe ramifications on how people's estates are handled after their passing, particularly if they are on programs like Medicare, Medicaid, and their care is currently being taken care of by those programs.
Oh.
So I guess I am not totally familiar with that program, but I know that it was a legislative change. And so, again, people do need to contact their local legislators when they have concerns on some of these issues that are affecting older adults. And again, unfortunately, there often is not enough coverage on issues that cover older adults, and oftentimes it's not a priority for our society. And I really believe that it really needs to be, especially as the population continues to grow. Baby boomers are...
Yeah, they're on the way.
We're getting there, so... We just really need to be vigilant of these changes and how they're going to affect not just older adults, but future generations.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. It's talking about exploitation. We'll probably get into that a little bit more after our news break. But we older adults tend to lose more than younger adults when it comes to this. To exploitation, do they not?
Financial exploitation?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, yes, because they're very, very trusting. I think younger generations being brought up with social media and all these other things where everything is more open have a little bit more of a healthy sense of skepticism, whereas older adults were brought up in a generation that was very trusting. And particularly when as we age and we become more vulnerable and susceptible to people that we assume are acting in our best interest, it's pretty not easy, but easier to take advantage of that trust and to financially exploit someone because they are vulnerable. And especially if they're dependent on another individual for their care and they get threats like, you know, you will do this or I'll put you in a nursing home. And and if you have an older adult that is dependent on, say, an adult child that's taking care of them in their home, that's really a very, very serious situation.
Talking with Marcia Hendrickson today, Executive Director of South Madison Coalition of the Elderly, and visiting about elderly, abusive elderly folks. And we're going to give you a chance to join in. We'll take a quick look at the news, weather, and then we'll be back with our guest, Marcia Hendrickson. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about elder abuse today. It's something that nobody should really have to deal with. But our guest today says it still happens to hundreds of thousands of people across the country every single year. And a lot of those, several thousands, are right here in Wisconsin. And we're learning what we can do about it today, and more importantly, how to prevent it as we visit with our guest, Marcia Hendrickson. Marcia's executive director of the South Madison Coalition of the Elderly. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. As I said, you may have questions. You may have, you may suspect that there's some elder abuse happening, and what do you do about it? Well, give us a call or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there or email us at talk@WPR.org. And Sarah from Green Bay has been waiting a long time, so let's go to her. Thanks for waiting, Sarah.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
I am calling on behalf of the Wisconsin Adult Day Service Association, and in talking about elder abuse and self-neglect and safety issues in the home, I just wanted to mention that Adult Day Services are a very valuable, inexpensive option to help keep older adults independent and in their homes. A lot of times, Adult Day Services have nurses on staff, have case managers, have social workers that work with the individual and work with the families in order to keep them at home as an alternative to a nursing home placement.
And how are they, Sarah, are they available in all counties? Marcia's shaking her head, yeah, nodding yes.
Yes. We have in Wisconsin, there are 134 licensed adult day service programs. And also, if people are interested in looking for an adult day service in their area, they can go to WADSA.org. And get some information through that. Or also, Marcia had mentioned the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. They have all that information on available adult day services.
Well, you're doing wonderful work, Sarah. Thank you so much for calling. And let's get a comment from Marcia. Marcia?
Sarah, thank you for calling in. Yes, I'm very, thank you for calling in, Sarah. I'm very familiar with those programs. I actually volunteered at one of them locally here for a while prior to starting my position. And they do wonderful work. I know here in Madison, we have at least four providers that provide adult day services to any older adult that, and again, seeking that safety, independence, making sure that they are connected to resources within the community. So, yes, that's a very, very valuable program.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate your call. I want to turn to Elaine in Mondovi next. Elaine, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for having me. A great topic and great issues are brought up. I just wanted to reinforce that there's so much more that needs to be done in nursing homes. I am an RN, and I've worked in several nursing homes, and my mom was in a nursing home the last year and a half of her life. And there is so much neglect right in local nursing homes, basically because there's not enough staff for each resident. Do you have any ideas how that can ever improve?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it, Marcia?
It's always a matter of resources. It comes down to money, unfortunately, in many cases. But again, I think the state tries to do a really good job in their Department of Regulations and in looking into issues that come up. They try to set standards of operations for individuals. Oftentimes, a lot of these nursing homes are large corporate entities, and they may not be able to provide the level of services that some other entities that have a little bit more flexibility or freedom in their business practices can. So that becomes an issue also. But we know in any other operations, there are really wonderful, wonderful facilities doing great work, and there are a few that are not doing great work. So it's important that, again, that people look out for this vulnerable population and become the eyes and ears in the reporting mechanism.
Yeah, I did want to second that there. I personally know some folks who are in the business, and they run wonderful, wonderful facilities, and there's just no complaints.
Right. We're very fortunate, especially here in Dane County. We have a lot of really dedicated, committed providers.
Yeah.
We did call the quality assurance person, and she came down, and we all met with the facility people that, you know, were in the operation of it. They were no help at all. We called the state at least six times. The state said, well, if it's not charted, it didn't happen. We had a lot of issues that never got resolved. At one time, another family, grandfather and father was in the nursing home. They finally did put in hand sanitizers, but there's so many issues. You know, we tried every avenue that we could, and not much improved. I mean, these folks have their call light on, and they have to wait to go to the bathroom for at least 20 minutes. And it was just very sad. The good people that work in these facilities actually get burned out. And, you know, there's always some good people and some that don't care. And it was just a very sad situation. And there was really not much we could do. Out of six of us children, one of us went there every day and stayed with our mother to help as much as we could.
Wow. Yeah. So you were, in that respect, Elaine was lucky to have siblings that were willing to do that. That doesn't always happen.
No, unfortunately, in our society, as we become more mobile, and there's often I'm amazed at the amount of individuals and older adults that really do not have those family supports. And it seems to be that those numbers are growing, unfortunately.
Well, thanks again, Elaine, for calling. I'm sorry. It sounds like you were able to move that mountain a little bit and make some improvements. And I guess it takes a Herculean effort sometimes in order to to get what you need, and so I'm glad you were able to make at least have some success, although you're certainly not, I understand you're certainly not satisfied with the success that you have, but I appreciate your call very much. Thank you. You can join in as well if you have a question or comment. What are your experiences? Have you had some experiences with elders? Do you suspect some abuse might be happening? What questions would you have about dealing with elder abuse or neglect or perhaps exploitation? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Before our news break earlier, we were talking about how many elderly adults are lose money every year to mm-hmm. exploitation. And maybe you could mention just some of the examples of some of the schemes and the ploys that lead to this.
Well, there's a variety. Obviously, as I said at the start of the show, that there were about 5,300 cases reported in Wisconsin back in 2010, which is the last report that we had from DHS, and about 17% of those were financial exploitation. And that can be in a variety of ways. Trusted caregivers can have access to people's bank accounts under the guise of saying that I need to pay for your supplies or your care, or in reality be funneling off those funds to themselves for whatever reason. Locally in Dane County, unfortunately, we're seeing an increase in substance abuse of adult children that are caring for older adults. And so oftentimes the victim realizes that their adult child has a problem, and they'll report the abuse because they want help for their adult child. And unfortunately, the services and the resources are to help the victim. And so that becomes frustrating and challenging also. That's just, you know, another complication of the situation of abusive situations that we find our older adults in.
We had a listener who called in who says, I suspect my mother is being abused by my sister. I went to my local county elder services office and didn't get any help. I then went to the state. They referred me back to the county. I live in Marathon County, and my mom lives in Wood County. What other options do I have?
I'm actually familiar with Wood County because I lived there for 21 years, and they do have an Aging and Disability Resource Center. They also have a Social Services Department, which is responsible for investigating reports of elder abuse, also working through local law enforcement. Again, it becomes very difficult if the individual, the victim, does not want to cooperate for whatever reason, but there are various reporting avenues that you can continue to pursue and hopefully get some results in at least an investigation.
Linda in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I really appreciate the topic. I was at LPN in a nursing home many, many, many of them about 20 to 25 years ago, which is very surprising to me that this topic is still at hand. I was writing papers back then and going to meetings. And the one thing I learned from this elderly lady in a nursing home, when I called her honey one day, she said to me, I have a life. My name is Mrs. Brown. And I learned back then in my 20s that, one, I'm going to get older. Two, the policies we make for older people, we're making for ourselves. Three, that it doesn't matter how much money you have. It matters who's taking care of you. So a lot of times it doesn't have to do with money. We have this illusion in our society, and I think we have to deal with the fact that we're all going to get older and we'll be vulnerable. An old person, they can fall and break their hip. A child, they fall, and a lot of times they don't break a hip. So it's that basic common respect that we don't have, and we didn't have 25 years ago, and we still don't have now. And that, out of anything, bothers me. And the idea that we're just going to stay young. And I have a great passion for this. And so now I'm 30 years older, and we're still talking about it. And it just bothers me, and I don't want to sound real negative, because I know there's good things. But some people go to work, and they bring their own music to work. And I remember listening to, you know, I had a friend that just died at 99, and I would sit in the room when I walked in, and it was all about the nursing assistant and what she wanted to watch on TV. And he would fall asleep. And so I just find it very difficult, this conversation, because there's not been a lot of changes. And I hope that we could change the attitude of our culture.
You're nodding.
I am. I am in total agreement. I think we are, our society and our culture is really youth focused, and everybody wants to stay young and remain young, and young is great. And we don't have the respect for older adults and for aging that we need to until we get to that point. When, you know, when we start being on that cusp of actually aging and looking at ourselves and saying, how do I want my life to be?
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about end of life the way we talk about beginning of life.
Oh.
And unfortunately, I think that that conversation needs to take place, and we do need to put a higher value on older adults in our society. A lot of other cultures truly recognize the value of their elders and respect that, and elders have a position of respect, and they're not invisible. They're very predominant in other cultures and societies, and it would be great if we could move a little bit more towards that direction.
Linda, I thank you. I want to give Dee and Amory a chance to join in the conversation here. Dee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. My husband was in a nursing home for almost a year, and he received wonderful care. And when I complimented the staff several times, I was told that the reason he got such good care was because he was there every day. And that really kind of concerned me, because I know there was also a lot of people there with him that had no family to be with them every day or even once in a while. So I'm wondering what kind of care they get if there's not someone there watching once in a while.
Yeah, that's... Unfortunately, that's probably, in some respects, it's human nature. If you're short-staffed, it's I hate to put it this way, but the squeaky wheel getting the grease maybe a little bit. Marcia?
Again, people need to be the eyes and ears for these older adults, no matter what their situation. If they're at home alone, if they're at home living with someone else, because of the reluctance for them, or sometimes there's an inability for them to actually to voice their concerns of what's happening to them for whatever reason. So, again, we're reliant on other individuals, whether that's other family members or caregivers or the community at large, to make sure they are vigilant and aware of the resources and reach out to be the eyes and ears for these vulnerable older adults.
Then we, you know, have so many people, you know, that are, you know, going to be over 65 or are already over 65. Mm-hmm. How do we, what steps can we take to prevent abuse from happening in the first place?
I just think that we need to be able to provide the best quality of life and sense of independence for older adults in our community. We need to make sure that if they are living alone at home, that other resources are brought in to make sure those homes are safe, that there aren't fall risks that are in the house. There are agencies that provide risk assessments to come into somebody's home and look, and agencies that can provide some assistance, whether that's grab bars in the bathroom or some ramps for access to the homes to make them safer for older adults. Again, the major responsibility lies in the assistance of caregivers and the support support system that older adults have around them. And if they don't have immediate family or someone to take care of them and help them make decisions, then they're reliant on some of these other programs that exist in every community in the state. They just need to be able to seek out those resources to find them.
Connie in Appleton, let's go to you next. Hi, Connie.
Hello. I just wanted to relate a little bit of my story. I have a mother who has dementia, I should say. For 8 years of my life, she lived alone in her home, and she refused to recognize the fact that she did have dementia. And as a lot of people know, with people with dementia, many times they feel, when they misplace something, they feel it's been stolen. They can't remember where they put it, and as a result of that, they think it's stolen. I went through 8 years of the police calling me at various times of the night, various times of the day, to come over to my mother's house because she said that somebody had broken in and stolen something or returned something. So, but as a result of that, I kept trying to get help from my mother, and all I was told by some county services, from the police department, anybody that I reached out to, the Disability and Aging Resource Center, everybody just kept saying to me, there is nothing we can do until something bad happens.
And is that's not true, though, is it?
Well, it is and it isn't. People are, until they are deemed that there's a question of their competency, until you have a diagnosis that you can have some sort of legal standing, people are free to make their own decisions as long as they are judged to be their own person, which is a reason that we get so many referrals for self-neglect. This is a prime example of this. I'm sure I really feel your frustration because I'm very familiar of cases like this. And so it's a real difficult balance because people have the right to self-determination. As long as they are capable of making those decisions, they have a right to decide where they want to live, how they want to live, all of those things. It's just when there are situations, medical conditions, dementia, that decision-making process is challenged, that you really need to try to pursue to get that diagnosis so that you can access the help that you need. And again, that becomes very, very difficult. As I said, 50% of the cases reported are for self-neglect and very similar to a situation like that. And oftentimes, it's like any other abuse situation. You can go, you can report it, it can be investigated. Oftentimes, it's like in domestic abuse. The statistics clearly state that it takes most victims 6, 7, 8 times until they can follow through on that plan to leave an abuser. It's very similar in cases for elder abuse where there are often numerous referrals for an individual, and until they are the legal status of their competency changes, they're free to continue to live in those environments, even though they might not be the environment we would choose for them. But that's the self-determination. So,
what about for those who are interested in, you know, reporting or perhaps reporting abuse or learning more about how to prevent it? Where do they go?
There's a variety of avenues. They can report abuse to law enforcement. They can report it to their county departments of human services, adult protective services units are charged to investigate those incidents. The Aging and Disability Resource Centers have all of the referral numbers for local agencies. And those are all across the state of Wisconsin.
So lots of places, really.
Lots of places, yes. And especially if people are technology savvy, they can go online. And there's national resources for elder abuse and connecting people with local resources, too. So,
Marcia, thank you so much. I appreciate your call today. And I hope you've done a good job of making us more aware of these issues, and I appreciate your time. Marcia Hendrickson, is Executive Director of the South Madison Coalition of the Elderly. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.